Hi there. Welcome to the Value Cafe with Esther Opone. My name is Esther, and I'm happy to have you again on this podcast. Don't run away. I know my voice has changed. I don't know if you have something for this word phenomenon, please let me know. But then again, I don't take it for granted that you come around every other week, every other Tuesday to listen. And thank you very much for sharing with your friends. And if you've not shared with your friends yet, please do so. Let them know what's happening here, the laid back conversations we get to have with our friends and my friends, and all the lessons we get scattered away. So like I said, I've been saying all through last week, we are rounding off the first season of this podcast, and over the last 2 months we've had two particular series. The first was around pivoting, quitting and starting, and then the second was around my NYSC shenanigans, where and on all these podcasts we brought in about nine of my friends, and they've come here to share experiences, their opinions and all that. And what we'll be doing for the next 3 weeks would be bringing in some of my other friends again, who would be sharing some take homes from these two series, and that's how we'll bring this season to a close. Then we'll come back for season two, which will be richer and more exciting. So yes, thank you again for being patient to listen to this long introduction, and I really hope you enjoyed this recording. Welcome.
Introduce your guest now.
Oh, in the studio and on this particular series, for this particular episode, we have a very good friend of mine. I feel like I say I have a very good friend of mine and all that, and that's, I don't know, can't blame me, I have very good people around me. Yeah, but then I have a very good friend of mine in the studio with me this day. All right, so sit back and hear his voice. His name is Chuks Woko. He prefers to go by Chuks Woko. His government name is Chukudi Woko, but then he prefers to go with Chuks Woko. So yes, please, with a loud bang, welcome to the studio, Chuks Woko.
Hi guys.
Hi Chuks, how you doing?
I'm fine. Don't you think this is weird? I mean, I sound like you, and then you sound like me. I don't know what's wrong.
That's the miracle. That's the miracle of I don't know, miracle of something, Sha. but then it's a good thing that I've got very smart friends that listen to my podcast. So I'm sure one of them would like be able to
figure it out.
Exactly. Yeah. Propose something like, I don't know, like, was there a personality switch? This sounds very much, looks very much rather like one of those fringe where you put your head inside a liquid, and then by the time you're out, you've exchanged memories.
As you must have figured out by now, this is Esther, and Chuks has been talking all along, so don't worry, nobody has hijacked my podcast, okay? But the only difference is that I know, if you've been on my WhatsApp, you've been seeing me drop flyers and saying that this is going to be a roundup series, and I'm a little bit tired of asking the questions. And so for this period, I'm going to be having my friends, you know, charge the course of the conversation rather than me, like I usually do. And so right now the reins are in the hands of Chuks, and I'm simply just going to sit back, relax, and hope that he does not ask me too much of tough questions. But either way, I'll find a way to turn him back, and then we'll just, you know, we'll gist it away. So yeah, welcome again, and let's dig in.
Yeah. Exactly. So Esther, thank you very much again for giving me this privilege. Oh my God. And even hosting you, the host.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, so I feel like I have got to say congratulations for the good work you're doing with the podcast, like starting it off in the first place, because I feel like we have a lot of platforms out there that are supposed to connect us. One of the challenges we are having is that these platforms, even though they have the mission to connect us, what we tend to struggle with most times is having the right content to put out there, or having so most times we're just seeing vibes, we're just seeing love clouds and all that. But we're not having conversations, we're not having valid conversations, we're not having conversations that potentially shape our culture and our faith and all that. And then just to know that there's one more podcast in the mix that's coming in with so much value, and I think that's a very beautiful one, and well done on the consistency. This is like, yeah, happy new month. Welcome to new month. It's like your third month, so congratulations.
Oh God, it feels so surreal.
I know, right? Very soon we'll be celebrating 1 year on the podcast.
Yes. And millions of listeners and subscribers around the world.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. So let me ask you this. Talking about starting and quitting stuff, what is your... So far, what's your take home about, like, looking at you starting the whole podcast, and you've published a new episode every other Tuesday, like, what's every looking Tuesday. Back? Yeah, every Tuesday. Yeah. So, looking back, what do you like? What's your take home? In retrospect, what do you have to say? How do you feel? What's going through your mind?
Oh God. So, in retrospect, I would say that not giving myself too much time and space to overthink it, it's certainly something that helped in the right direction. And number two is also that I wanted this one to be different from all other projects that I've done. I don't know. I think I mentioned this to you before offline that and I mentioned it as much on my when I wanted to introduce my podcast on my social media, my Instagram, and even on my WhatsApp status, that I have a track record of, you know, unfinished projects and everything like that. And so
that was the best of us.
And it's really because of this, my mind, it's always trying to, like, you know, fix everything on paper before, you know, I launch into things. And I know there's the place of you know, putting all the necessary things in place and everything like that, but more often than not I fall into the no-dissolve analysis paralysis and all of that. So one thing that this has taught me is not to overthink things and to just flow, to embrace the mistakes and flaws that come with it. More than half of my episodes have come from virtual recordings, and, you know, the audio quality is not like as good as in-person recordings, but I also know that it's part of the process, because of course there are so many other softwares out there that could have helped, but I do not have the capacity to use them now, or acquire them for that matter. But, like, I think at this point it was just a different I wouldn't say a different me, it was just me coming in with a different mindset that this time, no matter what, no matter the flaws or no matter the mistakes, I'm still going to push out content. Of course I'm not saying I'm going to, like, you know, like be responsible with quality and all of those things, but like to really focus on making things work as much as I can and putting it out there. And so another thing is that it's really having a good support system. It felt really good to know that I could reach out to people, sometimes even last minute, to record with me, or to, like, you know, share their recommendations, especially people in the podcast community. Thank you very much. Yeah. You know, to, like, you know, give me tips and tricks and all of those things. And also to record with me, it means a lot to me, because I've had friends sitting with me through the midnight recording, because that's the only time of the day that everywhere is quiet and network is good and all of those things like that. So again, that's another thing. It's helped me to like boldly ask, leverage relationships, and also to, like, yeah, value support systems more. It's in things like this. And again, on consistency, I think I would tie it back to not allowing myself to think too much on the excuses I could possibly have. Like, there are a lot, especially when I was in Sokoto, there was a time that it was during a flight, I was editing my audio and my ears were hurting, the whole pressure was like, but then there was, so it was like, I felt like if I wanted to give myself excuses, I could have all the legit excuses in the world. But again, I also know that I could have done better than that. Like, you know, even if I had, like, succumbed to those excuses and not done what I needed to do, I would always, like, also know deep down within me, even though other people would excuse me and be like, yeah, we understand, all of those things, but I would always live with that feeling within me that, Esther, you could have done way better than this, but you didn't. So I think all of those things just contributed. And, you know, the whole promise I made to myself at the beginning that this is not going to fall under another in my incomplete folder, incomplete project file.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I think also being making myself very accountable to other people, because I knew there were some people that were going to still ask and, you know, follow up, and maybe a bit of lowered expectations. I didn't expect to be perfect. I didn't expect to have lots of plays and listeners. There are times when some episodes, they really picked up after maybe the second or third day, and ultimately I posted. And, like, it was just me, like, embracing that, oh, this comes with the process. Even if I have just one or two or three or four or five plays, like, initially, it's still all part of the process. So, and I was just like, yeah, boom, just fast. I'm just going to put it out there. Yeah. And maybe later in future, some people are going to come back and this is going to be valuable content that they need at that point in time. And so it will be there for them. So, yeah. That's there's a lot of things to reflect on, but those are the major ones.
Yeah, so I think it's really interesting you think that way already, like, knowing that you're not just providing, or you're not just creating content for the now, you'll be creating content for the future. I know that sometimes when I need to check on study more on something, Some of the videos I watch are videos from 10 years ago or 7 years ago and stuff like that. Yeah, and they are able to, that's 15 years ago. I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. I'm not sure 15 years ago, but yeah, like 10 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm more or less, as in, the contents are still useful to me. Mm-hmm. Right, and up to now, I think that's the magic of content. That's the thing about documentation, really, which, again, like I said earlier, I think it's just a very good one that you are doing this, because then you're just immortalizing value for a lot of people out there. And I'm sure, yes, I've sent emails like, hi, I just listened to your podcast, thank you. so cool stuff. Yeah, well done on that. And I think it's just interesting to see what the journey has been on starting stuff. So, and I think it was quite interesting that you even started with the series of on pivoting, quitting stuff and starting stuff, because you're just starting something. And I know that you had once had a blog, or you still have a blog, that's currently on an extended vacation, and I know you are.
Well, nice of you to put it that way.
Yeah, look, that's because I have. I mean, I'm positive that you'll go back to it very soon. So,
So maybe on that, I didn't exactly quit. I would say I pivoted. Is it pivoted or pivoted? So, it's something like pretty much maybe the value I want to put out, or I wanted to put out, maybe now it's in audio format. But I know that writing is still going to come into play. It still is in play. It's just not published on my blog. And sooner or later, when I go back to like writing and publishing online, I know that there's going to be some subtle differences, but then the whole essence is still going to be the same. So yeah.
To push value out there, right?
Exactly. So it's still an extended break. Let it chillax.
I can't remember if this was said or who said this in the first series, right? On how that I don't know if it's Chinyanya that said it or hinted on it. You know how you can be multifaceted, or you can be polymath. Like you could have a lot of talents and or a lot of expressions. Or is it Kizia? I can't remember. But then you have to more or less you pick one of it and work with it, and then you can expand from it. Do you understand what I mean? Like, so say you're a writer, you're a podcaster, you're an artist, what else? You do a lot of stuff, maybe as creatives, right? And then but then you just want to pick one, you just want to focus on one, and then when you've like found some level of balance, but then you can just spread and bring in the other expressions that you've got. So I think someone said it. I can't really place who said it or who hinted on that. Well, I don't know if I'm just imagining that was said.
Around, yeah, actually, it wasn't in the exact way you said it, but yeah, I think probably the conversation. So Chinyanya said something around being multi-dimensional and one of those things. Then I think in the conversation with Kezia and I, we tied it back to the whole. Also, you at the end of the day, you still have that core. And now maybe the house will be different, and then you can like pick one now and say when you have structure or something like that, then you can begin to leverage on the other ones. And just
Exactly. Cool. So let me ask you this: do you have an opinion on how it is to? Because then I'm just thinking that there's someone out there who is probably wondering, okay, so I'm this multi-talented person, or I think I'm this multi-talented person, and I think I can do like four or five things very well, but then which one, what should I be concentrating on right now? Is it the one that pays the bills, or the one that that serves for social good? Do you get, like, what exactly should I be concentrating on right now? So do you have an opinion on that, on how that decision can be navigated or can be made?
I don't know. You know, a lot of people out there would say that, you know, doing stuff that serves social good and that pays the bills do not have to be mutually exclusive. If you are able to maybe have one that is able to do both of them, then I think that's great. You've already found the perfect one. But if not, I'm going to borrow something I learned from Trisha Bees a long time ago. Like, she's a business coach and all of that, and she was saying something that it's okay to, you know, have ideas and have passion, but then sometimes it's better for you to, you know, do something now that you'll be able to use to fund that passion. So in a way, even the job that the stuff, let me not say job because it might not be a job for so many other people, the stuff that pays the bills is in a way also tied to your social good, because then it's like, oh, it's a source of revenue for you that you can now channel into doing social good. So I can, maybe a personal example was that I loved attending and I still do, you know, trainings, basically learning, meeting people, volunteering and all of those things. But at a point, I was I was feeling too stretched. I was stretched too thin, especially when I was in school, when I was in university. Oh my God, I feel old being able to say when I was in university.
God win.
Okay, so and then I wanted to be able to, without having to call home for every penny or every night or everything, do you understand? So that I could keep doing what I needed to do. So my friends and I, then funny enough, one of them has been on the show, to Crystal Bell, we signed up for ushering jobs. So say over the weekend or when we're less busy in school, if there was a wedding, there was a conference, there was this, there was that, and we would go.
Yeah.
And wasn't paying much. So that'd be like 2K, maybe like 3K, maybe like 4K, all of those. But I had extra that at a point it made me feel like a big person. I wasn't just depending on income from one. And then I could use that to fund stuff that I wanted to do. So there's an event in a place and I know I'm going to learn enough from it, or I'm going to meet this person I've always wanted to meet. And American Corner then.
Yeah.
I love, you know, and then yeah, so and then I could buy books that I love, and then, you know, probably get it autographed on the spot by the author, or even if the author is not there, you know. Attend all of these things, sometimes travel out of town for conferences and pay for some courses and all of those things like that. So that would probably, so I could say, oh, at that point too, it was something that I also enjoyed doing. I enjoyed like serving people, but well, not in that way, you get what I'm trying to say, but of course, you know, making people feel good or feel better when they come into the event, and you networking too, because that was also an avenue for me to do that and all of this stuff. So I think especially considering the climb that we are in, that it might take a, nobody's saying that you should stop working on your dream or you stop working on your interest or your passions, but I think you can just weigh things that would give you like high ROI now, such that you can now translate that into doing the social good that you've always wanted to do, because you have to think of sustainability too.
Exactly.
That's quite
an insightful one. I think that's quite an insightful one. So there's got to be at that point where you've got to make the sacrifices of funding your, I don't say your lusts, but then funding your passion.
So you fund
your passion, and then you have to look on. Okay, cool. So that's, and this is just if the passion is the most important thing that you want to do, right? But then of course, if you find one that pays the bills, then probably that already fixes the problem, right?
Yes.
All right. Cool. Thank you very much. So there you have it, guys, ladies or gentlemen. If you are in that mix, you kind of have this and then think a little bit more about it. Good luck. And of course, if you have more questions, don't hesitate to send an email to Esther. What's your email address again?
The Value Cafe Pod at gmail.com.
The Value Cafe Pod at gmail.com. Yeah, and she would give you more guidance on that. Okay, so
sorry, I just feel like I just want to reemphasize, I might have hinted at it, but I think if you have to go the way that, you know, not all of us have, you know, rich parents that are going to fund everything, that our hobbies and our passions and none of those things, and if you have to toe the path of, you know, doing something first that will enable you pay the bills so that you can fund your passion, then it doesn't mean that you can stop working on it. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So it might require that, after doing the work during the day, then in the midnight you take time out to work on the passion, maybe keep developing plans around it, you know, learning, honing your skills, you know, practicing, doing all of those things. And yeah, in the meantime, before you now get to that point when you can, you know, abandon all this, and by that time you would have also like made some headway instead of just lying fallow.
A follow-up question that I was going to ask was that, you know, people are always scared of very valid fear, really, that if I don't act on my passion right now, then probably responsibilities are going to pop up in the future, and then I'll not have a chance to like act on it, and then I'll just have to live in the regret of, oh, I wish I did not. Mm-hmm. I wish I did. That last piece of information is very helpful. Yeah, in my opinion, because you don't have to drop anything. You can actually do everything, but you just have to like plan around it, and yeah, to do the one that we that requires the daylight, and then the other one that you can play around. You can always at nighttime when others are asleep. So yeah,
Make all the mistakes, flop, do all of those things.
Yeah. Interesting. I think this is right. This the probably the best time to bring in my other question, which is around growth. Talking about making mistakes and all that. So I think one of the podcast episodes from the first series, we're talking about pivoting. Yeah. I think one of the conversations there hinted on something around having to gather experience and all that. I think probably to don't just like capture it properly, right? Like talking about wait to gather experience before launching, and then so you have to wait to gather experience before launching. And I'm like, we live in a very fast-paced world where you can actually learn on the go. Do you get like you can, yeah, and plus the truth is we actually become experts by doing, by experience. No one, just like you said earlier when we were talking about your podcast and how that some of the things picked up later on. Do you get like you got to master a lot of stuff later on? Like I can imagine what your first, I think I should go back and listen to what your first episode. Yeah, have you ever done that? Have you ever gone back to listen to what your first episode was like?
Yes. So like this time around from like a listener, so my previous listens have been, well, let me pick out while editing, let me pick out, you know, mistakes, stuff I need to cut out or show you again. Yeah. But yeah, I've also gone back to listen as a listener, like a learner.
Yeah.
And yeah, so and I'm still going to do that again. If I, over the course of this break, I'm still going to go back and, you know, I mean, there's a reason I brought up the series, because I also wanted to learn while I also learned on the spot while having those conversations with my friends. I feel like there are some things that I can go back and there's always something new I can pick up.
Yeah, true. True that. Yeah, so because my question was going to be around what you think about learning on the go as opposed to waiting to learn. Because waiting to learn reminds me so much of, I don't know if what I'm about to say is going to come out very right, but it reminds me so much of the traditional Nigerian education system. Well, let me say African education system, so that way I'm safer. But then it's like the chiget, like it's just theory based and very, very little of practical chiget. But the goal is that, okay, as you learn, then you get to do. Do you get? So you're not just learning theories, and then you now have 3 months IT or 6 months IT. Do you get? After 3 years of theory, and then the IT, you spend 2 months looking for, and another 2 months jumping traffic, and you understand that point. And at the end of the day, you don't learn so much and all that. But yeah, but learning on the go is that you learning, you applying what you learned, and then you learn from your mistake and all that. Anyway, it seems like I'm already biased, but I want to know what you like. I know you hinted on that, but tell me, what do you think?
Okay, so funny, today I stumbled on something from someone that shared something from Seth Godin, that don't listen to advice, you know, just do, just learn. You learn best by doing, not by purposes. But we also know that these things are also, you know, contextual. And so I wanted to think that what the lady meant, and yeah, even from personal example, is that you learn the basics. You learn what you don't do, because when she explained it was that, you know, if you want to get into an industry, you need to at least have a certain, you know, like, and like an amount of knowledge to an extent about what you are
minimum
getting.
Level.
Exactly. So you are not going in blind. That's it. Yeah. That's essentially what she was trying to say. So it's about really striking a balance. Because, so for instance, as much as I didn't want to overthink and like, you know, obsess too much over mistakes and getting it perfectly the first time and all of those things, there were also some things I had to Google up. I had to ask friends about, okay, for instance, it was a friend that told me about the platform to use, like, how to make teaser videos, all of those things. So I had to learn how to do that before I started, because then I wouldn't have been able to do anything pretty much, considering the fact that most of my guests, I even had to record them. Yeah, and even like, you know, inviting friends to record, like, so those are just some of the examples. And it's just basically, I think to that effect, it was really more about knowing the basics, right, that you need to start with before you start. Don't just, you know, start and then, because I think you'd get frustrated or overwhelmed if you run into too much friction early on. So I think I read it somewhere that when you are starting out something, you need a good mix of, you know, some wins too, to, you know, keep you on that journey, to like at least keep you going. So when you run into too much frustration out of ignorance, then you are really doing yourself a lot of disservice. So learn the basic things. When I wanted to start blogging, I learned, you know, websites I could use, where I could get templates, you know, some of all those other things. But when it becomes a problem is when you don't want everything to be perfect before you do anything at all, then you are really not going to get started. And then, yeah, so I think that's pretty much what the lady was talking about. And I think I mentioned it on that particular episode, something I had learned from GLS, a GLS speech I heard from Greg Groeschel. I don't know if that's the pronunciation, let me not bastardize it, of Life Church, also the founder of YouVersion Bible app. And he was saying something, he really coined the phrase, get more. GETMO, and that is get enough to move on. So like, you get the basics and then you move with it, so that you don't go in blindly, but then you don't also like delay yourself too much or kill the idea. Yeah, so I guess that's my take on it. And yeah, learning on the go actually, because there's always something to, you know, improve upon, there's always something to fine tune. And it's funny because there are some things you would never anticipate if you don't run into those problems yourself. It is when you get to that point and say, I need to learn how to do this. But if you never started, you would never know that you would need to do that in the first place. And then you can't even go learn about the problem at all. So yeah, I guess that's my take.
So thank you very much for that response. Get more is, yes, just get enough and get the work, get enough to get started, right? That's pretty much what it is. So that's about quitting and pivoting and starting new stuff and all that. I don't know if to say greatest, but my most from that particular series is the fact that I could hear people that had about the same thought process as myself, like, so you're dealing with stuff, I'm not the only one that has,
right?
Yeah, a whole lot of unfinished articles on my phone and a lot of projects. And you know, Even starting with, and it was interesting to hear Passion for Help. I think she spoke about Passion for Help, right?
Yeah, she mentioned, that she had to take a break.
Exactly. Yeah, she get, because you see, running a non-for-profit is something people don't, like, one of the things people don't tell you is, one of the things people don't get in running a not-for-profit is, it's not for profit too. That is actually legit not for profit. Like, it's also like there's no fund, like there's no money at at all. And if mm-hmm. if your work, except your work can does not involve you doing rather does not involve a lot of money or considerable amount of money, and doesn't have a lot of overhead costs, or doesn't have intimidating overhead costs. Yeah, but then if it does, then you're gonna have to have that conversation with yourself very soon and with your team about financial sustainability. Then you begin to discover that passion is not enough, that money,
even if your mind has passion in it, it's not enough.
Exactly.
If you're not spending money, you're spending time, you're expending energy, which you probably have ordinarily probably channeled into money making stuff. So it could just end up, it takes a toll on your, you can cut into your rest time, you can cut into your relationships, you can cut into a number of things. So no matter what, it's just, except you're not serious about it, it's that something always gives. And so that conversation with self and with other people that are involved, it has to be had.
Exactly. And I think it even gets more dicey when you are when you have volunteers, and you're responsible for volunteers, because then you have to keep them motivated while understanding that, see, they are volunteers, they're not employees. So you're going to have to relate with them on the level of being a volunteer and all that. Now I feel like digressing, but what I was just trying to bring out was that hearing people talk about challenges that I face too on a daily, on a daily basis, okay, good, all right, face that too.
I'm not the... You're not the only one, and a lot of people are trying to navigate this. So, and speaking of not for profit, so I remember someone saying, because I had attended a strategy, I think Sozo Strategy Camp, I can't remember if it was there or somewhere else, or was it Yearly Network Meeting, that person was like, not for profit does not mean not for income.
Yes.
So you're running on
profit. You just don't play profit.
Exactly. So, but I'm making something that can at least help your sustainability, because you can't keep depending on donors and all of this. No donor fatigue. And then some people would try to dictate some of the things that you do, even if that does not really align with your values and all of those things. So
but then in some cases it's actually situational, in the sense that depending on what you do, so there are some cases where you cannot actually sell your product, and so you have to depend on the goodwill of people, depend on the goodwill of people, or get some level of sponsorship and all that, in case there's someone out there who is doing some very great work, and person is starting to think, how can I monetize this? So
some people actually do not directly even sell products or services, but maybe on the side they just establish something. Towards the stuff, or maybe a consultancy service, maybe helping other nonprofits with something that they have been able to work around, maybe trainings, all of those things. Or this segmenting the market or something like the same service you provide, and then to a certain segment who can afford you.
So in that case, yes, then perfect. Yes, in that case, so it's more like getting money from outside to sponsor the work. So that can work, but so one shouldn't feel the pressure to make money where money is not necessarily where money might not necessarily be made. and all that. Yeah. So yeah. So that's like. So maybe some other time, or maybe in your next season, you hint on. We'll be privileged to hear a little bit about, I don't know, NGOs or social interventions and all that, and then the struggle.
Maybe I can talk about the struggles, but I'm not going to be speaking from an authoritative.
but that's the thing, right? I don't think everyone should be an authority, and like that's the thing. I don't think everybody can be an authority. I think people can just share experiences, and it's actually compound experiences that make someone an authority, right? So like you, by the time you go and study, so when you have person A studying the experiences of person B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, up to Z, then person A becomes an authority because person A has studied all these different experiences. But no matter how much you study people's experiences, you might not essentially understand the experiences like the people who have actually experienced it, who actually lived those experiences. And if you've experienced anything, it makes you sort of an authority because it's your experience, it's your story. You're the lion, we're just the hunters. So yes, right. maybe we're not the hunters, but you're the lion, and so you get to write your own story. So you don't have to be politically correct, you just have to be correct as you experienced it. And so it's the job of any other person out there who wants the complete picture to listen to person A, listen to person B, and then come to their own conclusions. But then whatever their conclusion is does not negate the experience that you
doesn't invalidate your own experience. Yes,
exactly. Yeah, so totally, let's have that session or that episode where we're just talking about social impact, especially in Nigeria, and how do we keep our volunteers interested. Maybe we'll bring in some maybe you should bring in some volunteers, so talk to some people.
Just give me ideas anyhow, don't worry, scribbling furiously.
and all this stuff is gonna help, I think. Yeah, for good content. All right. Okay, so now, seeing that we are drawing this season to a close, what should we be expecting from you, Esther, and the Value Cafe podcast by the next season? I don't want to ask how long your break is going to be, but then if you want to tell us, you can tell us. Yeah. And then what should we be expecting? Are you going to be doing giveaway?
Shall you sponsor the giveaway, number one?
It depends on what you want to give.
Okay, people of God, I give myself away. Is that not enough? I'm not for you people.
You don't have the right to give yourself away, please. Someone will walk you down the aisle that did.
No, I'm giving myself my talent, my content, my passion. Yeah.
I'm just joking. But yes, okay. But then what do we expect?
Of course, please expect, as usual, value, more value. That is one thing that is never going to diminish. I'm never going to pander to trends. Compromise on standard and all of those things. Even if it is one person that is coming back next season, the person is coming back and knowing that he or she is getting premium content. They're going to be more fun and more daring conversations. And of course, still, laid back and chilled and all of that. Probably more authenticity from myself, especially. I'm still going to be having conversations with my friends, but maybe more. I'm going to be adding maybe conversations with myself too. I feel like I've been hiding. It's all his face. What is And I think I like the vibe of also being hosted on my own show, having people ask me questions that they've always wanted to ask me. And then, you know, we just rapport and then we have fun and all of those things. So definitely those are the things that you should look out for on the show. Maybe that giveaway will come out, you know. Maybe by then I'll be rolling in some, you know, cool dollars. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your response. And yep, that's about what we've got for the podcast, for this episode today. My hosting duty is almost over, but then of course I can't leave without telling you out there to please go back and listen to some of this episode, especially ones that sort of like meet you. Yeah, exactly, go back. Esther says go back. Yeah, especially the ones that meet you where you are at the moment, and do share. Like, just pick the link and put in your status. We're trying to build the number of listeners on this podcast, and yeah, drop your comments, send in your responses. Yeah, and there's actually a slot, so there's a link in the description box where you can actually like sign up for a newsletter so that you can just be part of this growing community. You get emails, yeah, and all that stuff. So you get to know when we're coming back.
And you can even get to like suggest, you know, topics you want to talk about or hear about, guests, all of those. You can nominate my next guest, actually. So yeah, the power is also
exactly. You see, I'm listeners' power.
Yes.
So totally, just take advantage of this, and you see, I think it's just great timing because Esther is preparing for the second season, and so your input will just be so magical.
Yep.
Yeah. So, just before I turn it over to Esther, finally, my name is Chooks, and I've been your host. Hope you've enjoyed my rookie attempt at being a podcast host.
I want to do my job. Thank you very much, Chooks, for having me on. I feel like I had you all have me on, but it was actually really nice.
Manipulated me, but then that's what friends do. So yeah. It's okay. No, friends don't manipulate, but don't, I'm just joking. You didn't manipulate me. I love doing it. So yeah.
Oh, you see? See. So anyway, thank you very much. I really actually enjoyed. Those were very insightful questions. You would notice that a lot of times I had to think on the spot and vocalize some of those things that had been running around in my head. So thank you very much. And yeah, I feel like I'm going to drag you back a number of times, and you're going to say yes. Thank you.
Of course. Say yes, Madman. I've seen
And so yeah, next week we're going to be having someone else also host me. That will be focusing more on my NYSC series because the person is also a CUFS member and, you know, all of those things. So I really hope that you enjoy and love this particular episode, and that you share, you drag other people to come to listen, give your feedback, send me those emails, send me those DMs, and you can actually really record voice messages right in app if you have an app. Yeah, I love to hear your voice. Okay,
exactly, and then probably they get a chance to just future maybe one day Esther could say, you know what, I just want to publish your voice, you know what I mean?
So come at me with your best voice, okay, or whatever voice you have. Everything is all well and good. So thank you very much for joining me on today's episode of The Value Cafe with Esther, and I'll see you next week. Bye.